Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Got mail.
Welcome into Knicks Mail.bag. I am Alex Wolf, I'm your host, and we are back to continue at some point in this Mail.bag. Full disclosure, this recording went from like 9:45 to like after midnight, and so I'm recording this at like 12:15 after doing the show, so I'm not entirely sure where we're going to pick up here, but thanks for listening to part one if you did, and if you didn't, go back and listen to part one of this episode. And now we're going to get into part two. So buckle up. Here we go. All right. We'll do another question from Jax365.
You've got mail.
Jax says, my two biggest fears are that the Knicks will bring back Randall and trade our pick for Brogdon or Turner. What are your two biggest fears for this Knicks offseason? We've already like sort of gone into this a smidge. So, I mean, can we agree number one fear is that they basically just run it back?
Yeah. Yeah, I think more so than bringing back Randall, it's like making essentially no changes to the...
Yeah,
because clearly... I don't trading for Westbrook, not a legitimate fear. They're not going to do that, so yeah. I don't think we have to worry about that.
So what's another, like, legitimate fear?
I don't know if I agree with trading the pick for Brogdon. Like, I don't think they're going to trade this year's first rounder for either of those guys.
Yeah, I don't think so either. If anything, I would see them trading Randall for Brogdon.
Right, yeah. Something like overpaying in years, whoever they bring in a point guard. Like we were talking about before with Tyus Jones, like signing Tyus Jones to like a 4-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
I would not like that at all. Like if you're gonna bring in someone who isn't Brunson, and even Brunson, I wouldn't want him to sign for more than 4 years just because like I don't love the idea of a long deal for a non superstar. So that's what overpaying someone more specifically in years is what I'm worried about, I think.
Yeah, I think I'm generally of the same mind, like, and particularly pointed at the point guard position. Like, mm-hmm. I just think going too hard and overpaying someone just to start them over quickly, who is really showing something towards the end of the year, would just be annoying to me. Like, I would just be like, why not just save that money and roll it forward? And even if Jalen Brunson is basically your nephew, like, just like quickly run the show and see how it goes, you know, and show that, you know, you're okay with development, which, you know, Leon Rose talked like crazy about, like, you know, the young players on the team and everything, and is like, you know, farewell address, you know, like the letter that he wrote and all that stuff. So like, put up or shut up with that. Like, stop, you know.
Oh, wait. Speaking of which, here's a fear. That Leon Rose doesn't talk.
Oh man, that's my worst fear.
Yeah. Imagine if he doesn't give a press conference.
I mean, he might not, because he didn't last year.
No, I'm fucking with you. Also salty. I don't think he will, and I will continue to not give a shit.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God. What is the world going to do? Like,
you know what? I can almost guarantee part of the reason he's doing this, not a big part, but part, is because everyone is being so weird about it.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, well, he doesn't seem super comfortable in front of a mic.
No, he doesn't, which is interesting.
But like, he's not
the job he had before this one.
Yeah.
Like, agents, not that agents give a ton of press conferences, but they have to be very like boisterous, outgoing people. So it's kind of surprising.
Yeah. But I agree with you. I think there's a difference between having to pick up the phone and call someone and negotiate a deal though, versus like get in front of a camera. And
I'm thinking more along the lines of like recruiting clients, you know,
which, yeah, I guess.
Rose probably didn't have to do a ton of that for a long time, but like when he was first starting, he had to.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably. I don't know. I mean, I just think, but the other thing is that he's not even like the type that gets nervous during press conference type stuff, to where he would like reveal state secrets. Like, he's just like the type that just gives you like awkward stammering answers and like sounds like he's reading off a script. And because he has to like coach himself to get ready for these things, you know, because he's not like a huge like off the dome guy.
Yeah. Like, he's ultimately, it honestly doesn't fucking matter. As long as he's doing things to make the team better, I really don't give a shit if he ever talks. I really don't.
Like, I'm just sorry. Speak through your actions, because all he's ever going to say anyway is like, we're trying to make the team better, and that's it.
Right. Like, even if he's doing like weird shit, I would kind of like to hear him talk so that people could like try to call him out for doing weird shit. But ultimately, he's still going to say the same shit.
Yeah.
Which is like, I'm just trying to do my best to go, whatever. It's going to be nothing. Assuming nothing. No general manager has ever, or president, whatever, has ever given like a significantly revealing interview that did not get them in trouble. So why are we even wasting our time worrying about this?
Yeah, exactly. Because like, yeah, it's
on the record. They do like off the record shit, but
exactly. Yeah. Like, nobody's ever going to do that, 'cause that's like the worst possible business practice.
Yeah. Like, look at what Presti, you know, that like everyone loved that Presti interview. Well, I guarantee that, I'm forgetting who owns the Thunder, is pissed at him
for being like, yeah, we might tank next year again.
Yeah.
all right. Yeah. Presti sucks too. To move to our next question, though, I think this is going to be a pretty easy one.
It is.
You've got mail.
Coonies on the Discord. Would you go celibate for life if it meant a Knicks ring? No.
No. The thing is, in Coonies' defense, he did not realize, or she, I should not assume Coonies is a gender. Coonies did not realize that they were in the mailbag room, and then I think they thought they had to ask a question once they were posting there, so.
Well, either way, quick one. Yeah.
For one mixed ring. Let's modify. How many would it take, guaranteed, for you to go celibate for life?
I've already gone my first 32 years of existence without a ring and enjoying sex. So like, there's no number, because I don't
know. I agree. My answer would be the same.
You could say one every year for the rest of my life, and I would be like, no.
Yeah. I don't care. The thing is, like, the Knicks winning a championship every year for the rest of our lives, would lose its luster.
It would get boring. We'd become like, boring, you know, loser Yankee fans.
I was just about to say, we become Yankee fans.
They're just like, I'm so bored with my 100-win team. Ugh.
Yeah, we'd be Omar in the Discord complaining to me about how I'm enjoying the Mets being good.
Yeah, exactly. And I would not want to be that person. So
yeah, I don't want to be Omar.
to quote Scary Terry and Rick and Morty, because we haven't done a Rick and Morty thing. Sex is sacred, bitch.
See, we did when you were gone last time, Zach. I did Rick and Morty.
I heard it right at the very end. I heard it. I listened to like your whole episode.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, because you had told me to. You had to edit it. Oh, we did tell you. I don't even remember. I actually kind of want to go back and listen, because I know it was a shit show, but I don't remember any of it anymore.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was varying levels of shit show. You guys did admirable. But it was certainly a thing. All right. We've now made it officially to Nick's Mail.Bag After Dark.
Hello, ladies.
And so our first question, we're going back to Jax365.
You've got mail.
Hello, guys. How are you feeling today?
I thought we'd start off nice and easy.
Okay. So how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling okay. It was actually a pretty stressful work day, so I'm glad it's over. I'm also glad that you could not do this until after 9 o'clock because I walked in the door at like 7:55. Mm-hmm. So... So it was a long work day. I got another one coming tomorrow. So I'm not really, you know, I'm looking forward to relaxing for a little bit after we finish recording here. But thanks for asking, Jax.
Yeah, I'm also a little tired. I don't know if it's showing in the podcast today. But yeah, this is my second straight podcast that I recorded after coming home from like, I was like door to door, like from leaving home to getting back home, like about 12 hours out of the house today and then recorded two straight podcasts. So yeah, I don't know, a little strung out, but it's good. I'm working from home tomorrow, so that should be helpful.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So looking forward to ending this stupid podcast. No, I'm just kidding.
Nice. How do you think Zach's doing today?
That's how Zach felt, clearly.
Yeah. At least, seriously.
At least I'm willing to power through. Now I'm going to be like, no, you know what, man? I gotta go to bed.
Leave me alone to answer the last few questions.
You can finish it off. Peace, dude. Talk to you later.
Yeah, we've never done that one before. So, you know what we'd have to do? Message the Discord and be like, hey, anyone want to hop on to the last half hour?
Yeah, exactly. Just be like, guys, please save us. All right, moving to our next question, also from Jax365.
You've got mail.
A British minister and MP...
Member of Parliament.
Okay. Resigned last week for watching porn in Parliament twice. The first time accidentally because he was searching for tractors, and the second time deliberately. So have you guys watched porn at work? What a segue.
Yeah, that was really good. First of all, so funny that he did it accidentally the first time. And then after that, he was like, actually, I kind of like this.
Yeah, yeah. My answer would be no, although have you ever had it happen if you like go on Twitter on your phone at work and then all of a sudden something NSFW pops up and you're like, shit, shit, shit.
That has, yeah, I've seen naked people by accident on my phone at work, but not like deliberately.
I mean, was this guy doing it like on his work computer at Parliament?
I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking of my phone. Like I'd just be scrolling Twitter and like, yeah. Something.
No, but I'm thinking, like, how did this dude get caught?
Somebody probably saw him.
Yeah, I guess so. Was he, like...
I mean, he was watching porn in Parliament.
Was he like, was he tossing off in Parliament?
He was wanking.
He's wanking?
He's, you know what he is? He's a Billy No Mates. That's what he is. So.
he's a Billy No Mates and a tosser.
So nobody, since he has no mates, everyone was like, this guy's watching porn. Nobody protected him.
He definitely got sold out by a bunch of people. But no, I've never intentionally pulled up porn at work. That's a sacred activity for at home.
Yeah, what would be the? I mean, well, I know what the point would be, but like, I can't even imagine doing that.
Yeah, yeah, not even at like my horniest like 18-year-old.
Yeah, self. Right. How many? Okay, wait. How many times do you think James has pulled up porn at work?
Oh, at least half a dozen. Oh man, yeah. But no, I would not. I mean, because that's literally. I mean, that makes it very easy to lose your job.
Yeah.
Too over something so stupid as needing to watch porn at work.
For just wait till you go home to be a wanker.
Yeah, just wait till you get home. That's the lesson here.
Even Billy No Mates have homes.
Exactly. Unless they're Billy No Homes.
Right. They call those. They actually call those Tommy No Homes.
Oh, okay, my bad. All right.
You've got mail.
So the next question from Jax was the one we did already with the video that took forever for me to watch. So our next question from Jax, have you guys broken any codes?
Do you know who this is?
No.
He got 4 laughing reactions. I think we're missing something.
We're definitely missing something. Well, we clearly haven't cracked the code of this question.
Sorry, Jax. If you want to explain, like, what weird sex thing this is that we're not realizing, you can explain it to us when you hear this, and we'll answer next time. But I like
how that's where your brain goes first. It must be a weird sex thing.
Well, the people who laughed at it were Zach Picorni, which does not guarantee it's a sex thing, and then Schwinn and James.
Okay, yeah, it must be a sex thing. all right, speaking of...
You've got mail.
Our next question in Nick's Mail That Bag After Dark comes from our buddy Far Off the Mark again, who just put a tweet in there, I guess, for us to react to.
Yeah.
From a Twitter user named B. Simone, at the B. Simone. Fun fact, I had my first orgasm ever in life last month. I've been celibate for 10 months. What does that tell you?
I don't really know why she... I'm going to answer this question very seriously. I don't know why she added the I've been celibate for 10 months part. I mean, maybe I guess she was like really raring to go since she hadn't had sex for 10 months, but...
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. It's hard. It's harder for women to orgasm, unfortunately. So I'm glad that it happened for her.
But I'm wondering, is she saying that she orgasmed because she did it to herself? And that, like,
oh,
that's it?
I think that is what she's saying. I didn't read it.
Like, that there's never been, like, a guy's never been able to physically...
Yeah, you know what? That is, you're reading it correctly.
No, I really had to think about that for a second. So, yeah. Like... I took the time to think while you were talking.
She's not saying I had been celibate. She's saying I have and currently am. So you're totally right. Yeah. I mean, you know, like it's harder for women to orgasm, unfortunately. And men are not really that great at it. Unless they, you know, are good listeners and, you know, want to make sure they do it exactly how the woman wants them to, or whoever their sexual partner is.
I also feel like men, it's very easy. It's just like up, down, up, down, up, down.
Well,
it's
it was Max Julian, right? That was like, it's pretty easy for the man's rocket to blast off. So
yeah, exactly. It's like the easiest cheat code in Grand Theft Auto history. It's like up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. That's it. Yeah. That's how men, whereas like the female orgasm is like up, down, left, right, A, B, you know, triangle, square, circle, X, you know, left, right, left, right, you know, whatever. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's like women actually have different, each woman has a different thing that gets them off. Whereas men, it's literally just like jerk, penis, ejaculate, done.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah. Patriarchy.
Good for her. She figured it out. Like, that's awesome. But my hope for her is that she finds a man that she could share that with that can then.
Or a woman. We don't know.
Or a woman. Yeah, for that matter.
The implication from her question is that.
That she was with men before. Yeah. That didn't please her. So, yeah, that's the implication. However, it's wrong of me to assume that she would be straight. So, whoever she ends up with, hopefully she passes that information along and can have a long and successful love life.
You've got mail.
All right. Now we're on to Stingy. Oh, my God. What in the hell are some of these questions?
I know. Stingy was really, really feeling it today. So right. Many questions.
All right, well, let's get through these with as much time as we feel they need. Stingy, first off, would you rather never be able to wear a jacket or to always have to wear long underwear? No washing.
I mean, it's the former, since you can't wash the underwear.
Yeah, I would always never be able to
layer up. Well, you just layer up and avoid wearing a jacket if you have to.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also a very cold weather person. So, like, I go outside in, like, 0-degree weather to get my mail in, like, t-shirt and shorts. So, like, I'm good with it.
I'm like, you know, I can tolerate the cold. Like, if it was really cold, you can still wear
a sweater.
Yeah, you can wear a sweater and, like, and 6 shorts if you really needed to. And you'll survive, you know, without a jacket. Long underwear that you can't wash.
That's disgusting.
I think Stingy accidentally weighed this too far in one direction.
Yeah. Sucks for you, Stingy. We cracked the code. Hey, we just did.
We did it. Thanks, Jax. We did one.
You've got mail.
All right. Another one. You have to eat a Grundle Crumble. Have to. How will you prepare it? Now, a Grundle Crumble
for a little context, was what Sinji referred to as like what would happen in your grundle if you had to wear the long underwear with no washing for a long time. Also known as, like, I guess, solidified duck butter.
I mean, it's like, it's smegma, right? I mean,
yeah, duck butter, smegma, yeah. If I had to, how are you preparing it? By hiding it as much as humanly possible.
I mean, you have to eat it.
Hide it in a sandwich. Like, I don't know.
I would probably, I think I would.
Put it in a pill like I'm a fucking dog, or like some peanut butter.
Wait, okay. Someone I went to college with used to.
Eat their grundle crumbles?
No, shut up for a second. Used to take Adderall, you know, for when he did not have ADD. To take Adderall to like make him focus to study, by crushing it up into a powder and sprinkling it on a peanut butter sandwich, which I always thought was like a very funny way to do that. And that's probably what I'd do.
So you wouldn't try to just like nail it out in one bite?
No, because I think if you like spread it out, right, the peanut butter taste is pretty strong. So like, I think if you make it like a very fine powder and sprinkle it across a sandwich, you might not taste it at all.
See, I would worry that you would just taste it all throughout the sandwich.
Well, I could be making a mistake, but there's really...
I'm also using peanut butter, though. I've decided I'm going to do it like dog style. Like, I'm literally going to take...
Nice. You're going to do like a dog taking a pill. Okay.
Yeah, take like a big clump of peanut butter, shove it in the middle, and then literally just like swallow the peanut butter. Gross. You know what I mean? Like, don't even like quote-unquote chew it, you know?
I guess you could actually just like... If you could like make it relatively pill sized, you could just take it like a pill without even doing it with like a dog and just like quickly.
Yeah, but I would rather have the peanut butter buffer around it.
Well, the thing is, like, I just don't know. Like, dogs can do that. I don't know how easy it would be for like a human to do that the way that a dog does it.
I could definitely just swallow a clump of peanut butter.
Okay.
It's like a pill, but like it's soft.
But there's
like,
so much peanut butter. You have to like get down your throat. I don't know. Whatever.
I don't know. The whole thing with like, a big pill being difficult is that it's like hard. Yeah. Like peanut butter is soft. It's like, it's like having a particularly thick,
but it's sticky, but it might stick to your, like your mouth and hard to get down. And then you know, whatever.
I don't know. As long as I don't erode it enough to get to the grundle crumble in the middle, I'm good. So
you've got mail.
All right. Let's move to the long stingy question. Cause that's enough grundle crumble. Although maybe there's more in this one. I don't know.
There isn't.
All right. Let's say you had just an unreasonable amount of ass hair and an unreasonable amount of torso hair. Would you rather have the hair from your left butt cheek braided over the crack to your right butt cheek until the Knicks have a winning season? Or would you have your chest and back hair braided to look like a Knicks jersey until they won a championship? Whichever you choose, the other has to be waxed, and you do half every Friday night. So assuming you pick braided jersey, okay, cool. Every even Friday night, the left cheek is waxed. Every odd Friday, the right cheek is waxed. Conversely, choose the braid over the butt crack, chest and stomach waxed, and back waxed. It's a lot of... I think I would choose braid the Knicks jersey into my chest and back, because that sounds kind of cool, actually.
I would choose the butt hair, because you only have to do that until they have a winning season, and they're probably going to have a winning season next year, so I'm out much sooner than you are.
Yeah, I guess, but like you're braiding your butt shut.
Whatever. Yeah, I mean
that would be so messy. That would be. I guess it is
over the crack. I didn't really consider over the crack being like the butt is shut.
Dude, yeah, you would have to like shower every single time you took a dump.
Yeah, I mean that's fine.
What if you had to go at work or something?
I mean, it is part of my daily routine to shit like pretty soon after I get to work. So that would be.
You just have to walk around with terrible swamp ass all day.
Yeah. Oh, God. Okay. You convinced me. I guess I'd have to go the other way.
Yeah. Like, I'm thinking, all right. And also less surface area to wax, right? Yeah. Like, your butt versus your whole chest. I mean, I don't know. Do you have a hairy chest and stomach and stuff?
It's not hairy. It's not, like, it's not super hairy. But I have, like, very dark hair, as you know. So it's, the hair that I do have is very visible.
I have like a fairly hairy chest and stomach, and it's oh man, I definitely think I would prefer to have
my. You know, it's looking at it now. I undersold. I'm not like covered in hair, but it's fairly hairy.
And in this scenario, you're like fucking George the Animal steel, like,
right, yeah,
covered
yeah.
in fur, basically.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, what I don't have is a hairy back, which is nice because that's, you know,
I have a little bit of hair on my back, and it's really awkward. It literally is in like a couple of small patches, and I don't understand it. Mm. It's bizarre.
That is bizarre.
If I was gonna wax any part of my body, it would probably be that, to be honest, because they're like weird little like circles. They're like, I don't know, like 3 inches in diameter, huh, roughly. And it's just like a couple spots. It's really bizarre. Luckily I have somewhat light hair, so it's not super noticeable, but it's just like awkward if people ever notice.
That is weird.
Yeah, it is bizarre. All right. God, last one from Stingy. Then we're on the nerd stuff. So I'll give the pre-warning now. We are going to talk about like Doctor Strange and shit.
Well, so I started, just FYI, the nerd section with a question about the Obi-Wan trailer, which is really not much of a spoiler to allow people to ease in if they like really don't get out in time.
Okay, cool. Well, either way, we're going to give consistent warnings here.
Yeah,
so
yeah, we will.
One more question, then we're on the nerd stuff. Then there's one less spoilery question than we are asked about Doctor Strange stuff. So,
and yeah. Also the Batman.
And also the Batman, which is much less spoilery. But anyway.
Right. You've got mayo.
All right. Okay. Would you rather a bologna and mayo on white bread be your signature sandwich at a popular deli, or a liverwurst with mustard on rye? This is... I know Stingy was thinking that these are supposed to be bad, but I'm not even kidding you. I like both of these sandwiches.
I don't like either one, but I also don't really... Like, I don't give a shit. Your signature sandwich, like, do I have to order it? I'm just imagining, like, it'd be like the Matt sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. I mean,
I don't have to order the Matt sandwich.
Yeah.
You don't if other people want it, great. Good for them. I don't want it.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just say, like, literally, I grew up on bologna and mayo on white bread.
Yeah,
like,
bologna and mayo on white bread is fine. I mean, I would never.
That's what my dad used to always make me.
I'd probably go with mustard with bologna. Yeah. But
like nowadays, but like as a kid, like that was the shit. I would do mayo and mustard, quite frankly. I think that's a great combo.
I love mayo and mustard on sandwiches. I'm not a huge fan of bologna in general, so
I still to this day like bologna, but also I like liverwurst too. Like,
it's fine. No, I'm not a huge fan of liverwurst either. Yeah.
Again, another thing I like grew up on, like my dad liked liverwurst and then he turned me on to it, and liverwurst is like fucking delicious. I don't care what anybody says. I think it's really good. So, like, liverwurst with mustard on rye actually sounds fucking amazing. I guess if I was going to make one my signature sandwich, the liverwurst is actually a little more, like, sophisticated, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a liver, because it's on rye bread, too, and mustard. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a good combo. So, I would go with that as an adult. But my childhood would be screaming to make it the bologna and mayo on white bread. So, but I like both those sandwiches. And, again, oh, actually, it's really funny. My brother-in-law has managed a sandwich shop like in my town for like forever, and so I go in there. I used to like work in town in my town, so I used to go over there like every day for lunch, right? And every once in a while, particularly the one guy that was working there, that like every once in a while would get like a wild hair to be a dick to me and like fuck with my sandwich. They would put like liverwurst on my sandwich, and he'd be like, "Huh, how'd you like your sandwich?" Like the next day, I'd be like, "Bro, it's fucking amazing." Like, you put liverwurst on my Italian. I know it's a little unconventional, but it was actually pretty good. Like I fuck with liverwurst, so thank you. Thank you. You just gave me a double sandwich for the same price. Like, anyway, all right. Now, second warning, we're on to nerd stuff. So there is going to be some Doctor Strange stuff and some the Batman stuff.
So let me warn everyone, the order this is coming in, unless you want to switch it up, Alex, but I did this on purpose.
This makes sense.
Is Obi-Wan trailer, which is not really spoilery at all, unless you like don't even want to watch a trailer for the TV show that's coming out in 3 weeks, in which case, I can't help you. The Batman, which is on HBO Max at this point. I feel like everyone who's seen it, wants to see it, has seen it. So it's technically a spoiler, but I'm assuming not too many people will get spoiled. And then we're saving the Doctor Strange questions for last, because that's only been out as of this recording for 3 days. So, you know, once we get back to Jax, that's when we're on the second time. That's when we're on Doctor Strange. So you can wait through, if you've seen the Batman, you can wait through all those questions. And really, it's just right at the end when we do the Doctor Strange stuff.
Yeah, pretty much. So, and we'll give one more warning right before that too.
Yeah.
But NBA playoff action is nonstop at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on any team to win and get $150 in free bets if they do. That is insanity. Looking to turn a small bet into a big payday during the NBA playoffs with DraftKings same game parlays, you can do just that. Create your own parlay by combining multiple bets like which team will win, total threes made, total rebounds, and more. And boom, you have a shot at an even bigger payout. Right now, all customers can place a same game parlay with three or more legs and get a free bet back up to $25 if one leg does not hit. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TBPN. Bet $5 on any NBA team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. That's promo code TBPN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. All right, so Jax365 leads us in here.
You've got mail.
Did you guys watch the Obi-Wan Kenobi trailer? What's your opinion on it? Also, will you watch the prequel films to better prepare for this TV show? I will be. Did they release a second trailer like more recently?
Yeah, they did on May 4th.
Oh yeah. Okay. So I don't think I've watched that one yet. Actually, I only watched the first trailer. But I kind of want to go into that show with a clean slate. So I don't even feel the need to, and it's so close.
Honestly, the trailers are just, I didn't think either trailer really gave us much, which is on purpose. Cause like, what do you need? Either you're going to like be excited for the Obi-Wan show or you're not.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
Like, so nobody really needs to be like hyped up for that. It's Ewan McGregor back as Obi-Wan. It's like either you like that or you don't. So I don't really think there's any prep they need to do trailer wise, which is probably why we haven't seen Obi-Wan use his lightsaber in either of these trailers, which I think is obviously intentional. Mm-hmm.
Well, they've already confirmed there's going to be a battle between him and Vader. They like very openly said that and showed like concept art, and I was like, that seems spoilery. I wonder if it's gonna happen in like the first two episodes or something.
I think it'll probably be like the standard episode 5 shit that they seem to do with these shows. We have the only thing, I'm sorry for spoiling the trailer for you, Alex, but
no, I don't care.
We've seen Darth Vader's chest and we've heard his breathing. I'm actually pretty curious. Like, there's probably going to be flashbacks, right? Because otherwise,
why would they use Hayden Christensen?
Like, there's just no. I'm glad they are using Hayden Christensen, but like, why would you use him if he's going to be in the Vader helmet the whole time?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's
because I assume that they're going to have James Earl Jones do the Vader voice when it's Vader, because they did that in Revenge of the Sith. So why would they change it now?
Exactly.
So I'm guessing there'll be like a pretty good amount of flashbacks. Which, by the way, would have to be flashbacks to Clone Wars, which is fucking awesome.
Yeah. Wait, did I tell you that I got a Hayden Christensen autograph, too, back at Comic-Con this past year?
You did. Yeah, you did tell me that.
Yeah, fucking awesome. It's like
he, by the way, said in the interview recently that he has been watching all of Clone Wars for prep for this, which is another indication there's going to be flashbacks to the period of the Clone Wars, because obviously he, like, didn't play Anakin in the cartoon, so he needs to... You know, bone up a little bit on what happened. So I think it's going to be like pretty flashback heavy, and they haven't shown us a single shot of any of those flashbacks in the trailers, which is interesting.
Well, you know, Filoni's been like chomping at the bit to be able to show some like live action his version of the
clone. Yeah, I mean, which is good for him. Like he his baby, and he wants to do it, and I don't blame him. I mean, the Clone Wars is great. So, which,
by the way, I am. More so than watching the prequel films, like Jack said in the question, I might watch Revenge of the Sith. Maybe
I probably will watch Revenge of the Sith. Yeah,
but I'm thinking I'm going to watch the final run of the final season of Clone Wars.
That's a good idea. I especially want to watch. I mean, now that Anakin's really in the finale, but very the
final
much,
four episodes is just.
But like, I really want to just those are so Ahsoka versus Maul is so good.
Well, and that's my other prediction for this is that. I wonder if obviously the Maul thing resolved in Rebels.
But Rebels, I think, is set. Here's what I'm not sure about.
Set a little after Kenobi.
It would be after this because Obi-Wan in Rebels has gray hair.
Yes. And yeah, well, so he's more like,
he doesn't. The other thing is, I think, if I remember correctly, Rebels is set 5 years before the Battle of Yavin.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's so, like during it. Well, it's during like the onset of the rebellion.
Right. But so I'm saying, like, in this show, Luke is like 7 or 8. And yeah. during Rebels, he would be about 15.
Yeah.
Maul.
I was going to say is I wonder if Maul's going to show up, and I wonder if Ahsoka's going to show up.
I think yes on Ahsoka. Well, I don't know, because the thing is, like, Ahsoka wouldn't be a full adult yet, so like they wouldn't really have Rosario Dawson play her, which would make things a little weird.
No, what if they brought in Ashley Eckstein to play her as like a
young person? Well, how old is she?
I don't think she's like super young, but they could probably make her up to
pass. I don't know if they would want to do that, because they already like. I don't know. I think that'd be. I don't think we're gonna see Ahsoka. Maybe at the end.
I mean, she's 40 in actuality, but I mean, she's got
a little. Rosario Dawson's like 45. Like, there's not a huge.
Ashley Eckstein, obviously, I mean, she voiced the character like 3 years ago. So she's obviously got the voice of the younger Ahsoka.
She does, but like, I just think like.
Enough makeup. And like, she's got a little more of like a youthful look to her. Like,
yeah. I don't know. I don't expect Ahsoka, to be honest, because I just think it'll be. The timeline's weird for that. But I do think we're going to, I don't want to say I think we're going to see Maul, but I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Maul.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I would be more surprised if we saw Maul than if we saw Ahsoka.
Interesting. I do not agree with that.
Because in what context would we see Maul?
Like, Obi-Wan's going to be traveling around the galaxy a bit. We do see some of that in the trailers.
Yeah, but which makes sense. Do you think he's going to run across Cyborg Spider-Maul?
What would Maul be at this point? No, he's not Cyborg Spider anymore, because in Clone Wars, by the end of Clone Wars, he wasn't Cyborg Spider anymore.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. Okay, so I was thinking about Clone Wars. Yeah,
by the end of, he had his, like, normal legs.
That's true. So. Also, and during Solo, he's with, at the end of Solo, he's with...
Right, I don't remember when Solo said. I think Solo said around the same time as Rebels.
What the hell is it called again? The Black Dawn?
Crimson Dawn.
Crimson Dawn, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, I think that's how he'll run into him, though. I think Maul will be in charge of Crimson Dawn already.
It's possible.
He'll come across them and
Well, no, because Crimson Dawn was done by the end of Clone Wars also.
No, that because Solo
Mandalore, right?
Solo's set after Clone Wars. He takes over... Like, that's when he has the Darksaber. Because he gets the Darksaber, you know, we don't really totally... I might be screwing up the timeline here, but I don't think I am. Solo is set way after the Clone Wars, because Clone Wars obviously ends at the time of Order 66, and Han is not that much older than Luke that he would be a full-fledged adult at the end of Clone Wars.
I think... I've always thought that Han is supposed to be, like, a solid 15 years older than
Luke. No, I don't think so. Maybe...
I thought he was supposed to be, like, 30s.
Well, yeah, I think he's supposed to be about 30. So, like, 10 years older than Luke and Leia.
Okay,
but, so... like, that would mean, like, I think... Hold on. Let's just look this up.
All right. And then let's make an effort to move to the next question, because now we're getting too far into, like, full-on Star Wars lore, which I know we're probably going
to talk about. Okay, Solo is set in 13 to 10 before the Battle of Yavin. So it would be around the same time. It would be happening around the same time as the show, which is interesting, because I was about to say, if Obi-Wan is going to come across Crimson Dawn, could he run into Han?
Maybe that would be interesting if they pulled in.
I can see, like, they could just bring in Alden Ehrenreich, right? And then just, or Alden Ehrenreich, that's a hard name to say. And have him play. Like, I could see that, honestly.
That would be pretty interesting.
People have been thinking Han's going to show up in one of these shows for a long time. And, like, this would be very easy to do because they're set at the same time.
Yeah. Or if they brought in, what's her face again?
Amelia Clarke.
Amelia Clark's character, yeah.
Yeah, I could see that too. Yeah.
If they brought her in as, like, the representative of Crimson Dawn or whatever. You know, but yeah, I don't know, but
Obi-Wan, I think we clearly we both are. We just spent like 20 minutes talking about the Star Wars timeline. So yeah.
Overall, it's when this one was first rumored, it was maybe the Disney Plus show I was most excited to potentially see out of Marvel and Star Wars. So I'm very excited, and I know you are too. So
yeah.
We'll talk more about this soon, Jax. Don't worry. All right, we can finally get to these Batman questions. So these are all, I mean, Some of these will probably not require super long answers, but
and I've already answered them with vaguely without spoilers, so I'll re-answer. But
you've got mail.
So from our buddy Jake Andrews, these questions were from damn near 2 months ago. But the Batman related questions. Would a smart criminal leave a dead body in the back of a trunk and bring it to a drug deal?
You can answer first all these, Alex, since I've already done it.
I mean, no, but drug dealers also aren't always smart. And also maybe they had to kill her and then run to the drug deal. It's like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what their schedule looked like. So
I'm honestly kind of forgetting what this is.
That was, what's her face? That was Selena's friend, the Eastern European, the girl.
Oh, that they, right.
That's that they murdered and then they find them at the drug deal. And that that was when Bats kind of got lit up by Penguin's people, if I remember correctly. Right. Yeah. And that was when the Batmobile comes out and then the car chase. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, no, a smart criminal would not do that, but not all criminals are smart.
Yeah, I don't know why we have to assume that they're smart. They're idiots.
Yeah. And
the answer.
So there you go. That's the answer to that one. All right. Follow-up question.
You've got mail.
Is it true that you can't leave town if gangsters steal your passport? Like, cars don't work. That one was a little stupid.
Yeah. I don't think the fact that they stole her passport was the reason she was scared. Yeah. I think she was just nervous that they were coming after her, and she, wanted... First of all, she can't leave the country without her passport, which is probably what she wanted to do. So,
because she was Eastern European.
Right. I don't know that she necessarily wanted to go home, but...
Yeah.
She might have wanted to get out of the country because she was worried that these people would be able to chase her down anywhere in America. But it's a little dumb, but I don't think it's the worst.
Like, you couldn't even escape to DC Universe Canada in that respect without a passport.
Right. So where is she going to go? Like, okay, Gotham is like
New York City.
Well, most people think it's in New Jersey, weirdly, but anyway.
Well, I've always gotten the impression that it's like a more sprawling New York City that has a presence in New Jersey.
So, I think the main theory on the map is that Gotham City is, because like Gotham City and Metropolis are obviously across the bay from each other.
This is the other thing. I think it depends on the interpretation, because in Snyder's, that's how it was. But in other forms of media, it seemed more like Metropolis is almost like LA and
I think originally so here's the thing, like, it's very confusing because you don't know, man, I did not expect to be going down this route right now. I'll try to keep it relatively short, but like, you don't know, since Superman flies from Smallville to Metropolis all the time, it's really hard to tell where Metropolis is because like it could be anywhere. I think though, even in the have seen is that even in the comics, they are across the bay from each other usually. So I think people think that Gotham, and somebody can tell me I'm totally not right about this, but Gotham is like in southwest New Jersey, like Gloucester, Salem County area. And then Metropolis is basically like Dover, Delaware.
Huh. I don't know. Because that's the other thing too, is that sometimes in like the DC universe, they reference like other established US cities too.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I think the way DC Universe works is all the normal American cities are there.
Yeah.
And they're just all these extra cities.
Yeah, it's just really stupid. I've never.
So here's a question for you, and then we can move on after this. In Marvel, pretty much all the heroes are in New York, which means all the villains are basically in New York too. In DC, every American city that already exists has no superheroes or villains. Would you rather live in Marvel Universe or DC Universe?
I would probably still rather live in the Marvel Universe, to be completely honest, because if there was all these other gigantic cities, like, the US would be overcrowded as shit. But then also, like, I don't know. I mean, I just feel like I would still rather live.
I would not want to live in Marvel, New York. Living in Marvel, New York sounds like fucking miserable.
The Marvel Midwest. Like,
Literally any other city. Yeah, like Marvel Chicago doesn't seem to have any super.
Marvel coast, Chicago has nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, so that'd
it's
be
all the coast. Nice. Coastal elites. You know, that's it. So yeah, it's mostly New York though. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's some in San Francisco. It seems to be New York and San Francisco are where all the, like, there are some in San Francisco, but we know Ant-Man's in San Francisco in the movies. Iron Man was out there for a while, but in LA, I think. But mostly it's New York.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Marvel New York sucks. I would not live here.
I would just find another good city to go to. That's it. Yeah.
You've got mail.
All right. Move to our next question from Jake. Another Batman one. Follow up. All right. This one is where I remember thinking he's got a good point. I thought of this question immediately when I was watching the movie.
Yeah.
Follow up. If two men engaged in a high speed chase on a major highway that led to a Mack truck flipping over and killing tens of people in a ball of flame, wouldn't a police officer have to arrest at least one of them? Yes. And also, wouldn't that blatantly break Batman's code? Like, wouldn't he run towards the fire rather than trying to get the Penguin? Yes, absolutely. Like, that was the only part of that movie that, especially for a young Batman, I thought was like a total betrayal of his character.
I agree. This one, I didn't think about this. I mean, I thought about it a little bit when I was watching the movie, but then, like, when Jake asked, I was like, yeah, that was pretty dumb. There's nobody cared at all that
there car chase was
a giant pileup on a highway. Yeah.
That car chase was also horrifically shot.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't make the timeline of the car chase as it was happening, didn't make any. Like, that was honestly. Honestly, I think that the movie overall, The Batman for me is now my second favorite Batman movie behind The Dark Knight, which is high fucking.
I'd have it close. It would be tough for me between this and Batman Begins, but
I've got it over Batman Begins. Just because did you play the Batman Arkham games?
No, I really want to, but I never have. You know what? Well, I love the Batman Telltale games. I played those. Those are so fun.
Yeah, but this is like, this movie was like if they made the Arkham games into a movie.
Yeah, I know. That's what everyone was saying when they found out like what the plot was going to be.
Yeah, it was so amazing. Like, I loved doing more detective style and everything else. Like, I thought it was great. But that car chase scene was horrendous. Like, it made no sense. He's driving, I mean, what, Oz was driving, what, a Bentley or something?
Yeah.
Like, some, like, fancy-ass car, like, probably got a V12 engine in it or whatever. Batman's driving a little fucking Batmobile with a fucking jet engine on the back of it. And first off, he doesn't use the jet engine until like the last possible second, which is weird. But then, and he was using it pretty liberally at the beginning, just being like, look at how big my dick is while I flex my fucking jet engine on the back of my car before I chase you. Right. And then just didn't use it during the chase. But then also, you know, Oz got stuck in between like a bunch of tractor trailers.
Yeah.
And then it somehow still took Batman like 5 minutes to catch back up to him. Like, I'm like, okay, you know, Penguin just had to slow down to like probably like 45 in a 65 on the highway. And Batman is now going like 90 miles an hour. Like, you're caught up to that person in 1 second. Like,
yeah, it doesn't. That car chase was, you can't think too hard about it because there's really not much logic there. But it was
a horrible car chase, both from the perspective of the like choreography behind it. And then also the fact that Batman was just like, I don't care if there's like 15 people dying in a fireball behind me. I'm going to go up and mean mug the Penguin.
Overall, though, really good movie.
Overall, amazing movie. But just one blemish, which was that car scene. But there is one more Jake question about the Batman.
You've got mail.
This one directed at you. Did you answer this one already?
I did, yeah.
But we'll do it again. I'll give my opinion, I guess. I don't know. Matt, as an attorney, I'm most interested in your opinion. I was going to also ask, would a DA snort cocaine at the dining table in a crowded club with a stranger who identified him as the DA? But as a fellow attorney, I think we can all agree the answer is maybe. I specifically remember asking you this question now that I think.
Yeah, no, I did answer it. So go ahead.
I would not, but I'm not an attorney. So maybe if I passed the bar, I would get more of an inclination to snort coke at a table.
That is also really funny. I mean, that guy was obviously just like, you know, everyone's corrupt and he's high and whatever. It was pretty funny.
In that regard, I agree with the assessment that maybe it's New Jersey because all the politicians were corrupt as shit. Like, that's very New Jersey.
I think Nolan Gotham was, I mean, it was like filmed in Chicago. It's basically just Chicago in Nolan's movies, but
Yeah, it always did seem more Chicago. And this one, obviously, they were going for more New York, literally with Gotham Square Garden and shit. Like,
right, yeah, that was, I mean, that was pretty on the nose.
Telegraph New York. But yeah, I don't know. Or maybe
Jake really did not like this movie. I asked him why back when he asked all these questions. I don't remember his answer. But I mean, he has some fair arguments. I still loved it.
There's a few logical inconsistencies, but ultimately it's like with every movie, you have to suspend disbelief to a certain degree and just kind of roll with the punches if some of the stuff doesn't make
sense. How do you feel about the clue? I don't know, did you, maybe not because you didn't watch the movie until recently, but there were like, on like the if you go to the if you go to the Riddler's website, the El Rata Alata website, for a while there were like some hints that Hush is going to be the villain in the next movie. How do you feel about that?
I don't know. I mean, sounds cool.
My thought is, like, I'm of two minds because Hush is, like, a pretty cool villain and I think fits the vibe of what they were doing in this movie. But this Riddler is kind of similar to Hush.
Yeah.
A little weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I trust whatever direction they want to go.
Oh, I mean, I think it's going to be good. I hope, and I don't think they will. I hope they don't, and I don't think they will go with Joker.
No, not yet, at least.
I think we're just going to see Barry Keoghan again briefly, like we did in this movie, and then he'll probably be the villain in the third movie.
By the way, can we talk about how amazing their interpretation of the Riddler was, where they essentially turned him into like a fucking 8chan guy?
Yeah. Oh, it was so good.
I thought the best, one of the most like clever and awesome and like very post 2020 like commentary type moments of the whole movie was in the final part where they're in Gotham Square Garden and all of his fucking goons, you know, the internet fucking, you know, losers, incels are in there like with their guns and shit. And then Batman does show up. And when they had the moment where they're all just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, I didn't expect to actually have to fight somebody today.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It was really, really, really smart the way that's like, because the Riddler is like, I mean, we saw what Jim Carrey did with it, like, which is just a totally different type of movie, obviously. But like, the Riddler is kind of naturally a little goofy. Yeah. But that's why I'm saying that Matt Reeves made him a little similar to Hush. With his like crusade against Batman's wealth and like trying to prove that his parents aren't what they seem, blah, blah, blah. But in general, like I thought it was really cool what they did with Joker and like a very smart way to make him a more grounded and less goofy villain.
Riddler, you mean, but yeah.
God damn it. I keep doing that.
I know it's an Riddler. Easy thing to do, but also it's fucking late and we've been recording for like 2 hours.
Yeah. Well, so. We got enough strange questions left and that's it. So we're almost there.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I'm like, I totally. Oh, and also, I just got a shout out because I literally just watched this like last week, so like it's still very fresh. The Silence of the Lambs esque scene where he shows up and he thinks that he knows that he's Bruce Wayne, and then like where he's sitting there giving his monologue, like that monologue by Riddler.
So good. Yeah, Paul Dano was so good. There was like a weird backlash against it when the movie first came out. People were like, oh, Paul Dano wasn't really as good as we thought he'd be, but he was fucking awesome.
No, he was amazing. I mean, he literally had like an Anthony Hopkins type impact on the movie.
I don't think he knew that Batman was Bruce Wayne, honestly. Like, I thought when I was first watching the scene, I was like, oh shit, he knows. But then it was kind of obvious by the end that he didn't know. And he was
wait, you didn't pick up that he obviously didn't know?
No, when he first said...
When he first started, you thought it, but by the end...
I was like, oh, he knows.
Yeah. No, then, but by the end of the speech, you had no doubt in your mind that he didn't know.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were saying that there was still, like, a shadow of a doubt.
No. Like, what I'm saying is when he did, like, the Bruce Wayne, I was like, oh, shit, he knows. And then it was very obvious he didn't know.
Yeah. Well, once he was like, you know, we could have taken him down together, that rich piece of shit.
Well, and also he then two scenes later, he sends Bruce a bomb.
Yeah.
And like, it's clear that it wasn't meant for Batman. So, yeah.
Well, wait, no, that wasn't. Oh, yeah, that was. Yeah. Because that was then after that moment.
Yeah, it was after that.
He has to go back. He's trying to get Alfred then. Yeah. Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Spoiler alert, we're doing the Doctor Strange shit now. We've both seen it, so we're
going to. This is the end of the pod, so if you.
You can feel free to turn it off now if you want.
Yeah, you can.
We're really delirious anyway, so. You're only the most hardcore of hardcore fans.
We'll even do the wrap up. Thanks for listening. Thanks for our patrons. If you're not a patron, we love you anyway. DraftKings, etc.
All that good shit. Peace out. Unless you want to hear about Doctor Strange, which we're going to get into in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay.
You've got mail.
Jax365 is back. What was your general opinion on Doctor Strange? For me, it was okay, but not great. What's your general opinion, Matt?
Well, we know each other's general opinion on this because we texted about it, but
yes.
I loved it. It's like probably, if I'm putting on my Marvel rankings, which I haven't actually done yet, it's probably like a mid-tier, like just outside the top 10. But
I was thinking maybe just inside the top 10, but like,
I think that's like, you know, we're in the same area here. I thought it was so good though. I mean, like it was like the plot was kind of barely there, but that's fine. I don't really care. Like I loved all the horror elements, honestly. I'm not a horror movie person, but like I just really enjoyed them. You texted me because you saw it before me and you were like, it's wall-to-wall action from literally the beginning, and like literally from the first scene to the last scene. I mean, is Christine's wedding, like, the until Gargantos shows up at least, like literally the only scene that's not actiony,
and like the little bit of exposition where he and America are walking through Earth 616 or whatever, Earth 8,
838, and then I guess also like when they first are caught by the Illuminati, like that literally those
even, scenes even that felt really actiony because there was the imminent danger of Wanda showing up,
so right that's true,
for her to get there,
yeah
you know,
and then I guess like the wrap up at the end, like that. I mean, there are less than five scenes where that are not built around action. So it was just really fun. Like, it was a fun 2 hour. It was like a tight 2 hours. It was really, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I really liked it too. I thought that, I mean, look, like you said, the plot, not the strongest ever, but it's literally, they were just like, let's put the super powerful witch versus the super powerful sorcerer and have fun. And that was literally the premise of the movie. And I'm like, I don't care if there are too many MacGuffins or whatever. Like, that's one thing I keep seeing. Like, oh, just chasing these MacGuffins. You know, and it's like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't give a shit. It was a fun superhero movie. Like, stop. You know, it's like people want to be like, oh, like, you know, these Marvel movies, you know, some of them like try too hard to be like serious movies or whatever, or like an Oscar movie or some shit. And then they just give you a fun movie like this, and everybody just bitches about like, oh, the plot isn't, you know, as like airtight as I thought it was going to be. It's like, just fucking have fun. This is like, they have so many characters now that a lot of these fucking movies are just like giving a director a bunch of action figures to play with.
Right. Know? Yeah. I mean, Sam Raimi did an interview right before it came out about how he had, his first cut of the movie was, or not first cut, but like his original cut of the movie that he was planning on going with was 240. The movie was 206. And he went through it with like test screens, whatever. Was just kind of like, you know what? I'm taking out about like all, everything he took out was like plot scenes. And he was just like, these people are smart enough to put the pieces together. And like, it's just no reason to make them sit here for an extra half hour.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I mean, that's what you want. Like, you're totally right about the point you're making. Like, if you don't want Marvel to be like art housey movies, then this is what you want.
Yeah, exactly. And I will also just say, I thought the Danny Elfman score, brilliant. Like, and the music fight is
that was so cool.
that was a top five Marvel fight.
Yeah.
Of any of the movies. And any of the fights. Like,
I love how he won too. He was just like, let me strum the harp real quick. And
yeah, like that one last note that he needed just to like finish it off. Yeah.
Yeah. That was so cool.
Absolutely genius fight. Like, to literally use the score. It was like so fucking meta. Like, they're fighting each other with the musical score. Just amazing. That was such a fun fight. That was so creative.
One thing I do want to say about the plot is I've been thinking about this, and like, there have been a lot of complaints about it's very, like, reductive gender politics for Wanda to go crazy because she lost her children. Which, like, okay, number one, I get, I do, the Darkhold was corrupting her mind. They say that like 16 times. I don't really know why people are missing that. I understand that like that doesn't change the fact that the plot they went with was a woman goes crazy because she wants to find her children. Like, you can explain that away. It's still not a good, it's still kind of a tropey, shitty plot. I get it. I think what they should have done for the plot instead was Wanda realizing that she does, like, she's constantly like, you know, like says to Strange at the beginning, like, I break the rules and I'm a villain. You break the rules and you're a hero. I don't see how that's fair. Blah, blah. Like, I think her arc should have been realizing through the 838 Wanda, who is like also a powerful witch and just as a good mother to her children, that she's not like, she always thinks about how she's like forced to do these shitty things because she has no choice. She's put in these situations. But like, so I think the plot should have been her realizing that, no, she's making these bad choices and she's like not as good of a person as she thought. She's mm-hmm. like choosing to do these bad things because she's being selfish and she's like not really thinking through the consequences and choosing to blame other people rather than look inward. And I think like if that had been her arc, which would have been a pretty easy fix. Now that I'm like, I'm not fucking Michael Waldron. I'm not like a screenwriter of this. So there's probably a million reasons why this is a dumb idea. But like my thought is if that was her arc, it would have been much better received and probably actually a better plot. If like also easier to redeem her in the future. If she's realizing, cause she's not dead. If she's realizing that, no, I've been choosing to be like to do these things. And I've been making excuses for it, but I need to accept that, like, there's another version of me out there who's, like, an actual good person. She went through all the same shit I did, and she chose to be good, and I'm choosing to make excuses for why I'm not doing good things.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I don't have too much to add to that whole thing. I mean, other than just, like, yeah. I think it's also, I mean, I don't want to say it's overblown to just like boil it down to like just, oh, it's just gender politics. But like this isn't the first time that they've had a arc of someone going above and beyond to like protect their kids too. Like Tony in Endgame was literally mm-hmm. like, I'll save the world, but only if you don't make my daughter go away.
Yeah, he really fucked things up because of that.
Yeah, exactly. And like almost didn't save the world out of stubbornness, like because of that. So like, you know, there's already like a, you know, sort of a precedent of parents putting their, you know, what parents there are. Also like Scott, like, you know, being like, no, I can't go on a world saving mission because I'm staying at home with my daughter on house arrest, you know, like.
Right. It's just the differences. And I know, you know, this, but just like.
Differences that Wanda's really, going scorched earth, you know.
Yeah. Right. Is that Wanda's going crazy because of her not real children.
But she like, also has the Darkhold, which was also like filling her mind with like, you know, and visions of them and shit.
And again, like, I agree like that. It's not, they're not saying that Wanda's actually like it's Wanda's being corrupted, but ultimately like the plot is still, here's a woman who goes crazy because her kids are missing.
Yeah.
It's not great gender politics, especially after WandaVision did that so beautifully. The one thing I don't agree with is all these people saying, like, how could she have backslid after WandaVision? She had a redemption. No, she didn't.
At the end, she was in the process of going crazy. And right. also, and she, like, embraced the dark magic to beat Agatha. Like,
right. And yes, she saved the town that she enslaved. So, yeah. like, congratulations to her for that. I mean, I don't really understand. I do wish they had done, and I think this is probably some of the stuff that Raimi took out. I think they needed a little, like one or two scenes to show her like falling back into like doing, like to getting corrupted by the Darkhold, probably. But I don't know. You can put all that shit together.
It's not, I think they just ran out of runtime. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, all right, let's work towards wrapping this up. My God, it's like midnight and up in
Paris. I know. It is literally exactly midnight right now. We started recording at 9:45.
Yeah, and I've been podcasting for like 4.5 straight hours.
All right, well, we got two more. We can do it.
You've got mail.
All right, did Reed and the rest of the Illuminati going into their battle unprepared and arrogant?
I think Jack's made a little bit of a mistake asking this question. I'm assuming what he wanted to ask was, go into their battle unprepared and arrogant.
Yeah. Did they go into the battle? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and it was hilarious because they were just like, whatever, Doctor Strange, you're the only thing that's dangerous here. We'll deal with your witch later. Like,
isn't that like the essence? Like I didn't love, and I'm not blaming John Krasinski for the way he played Reed. Cause I think I mean, I mentioned this to you, but I think he like literally did it on a green screen in his backyard or some shit. So he didn't have anyone to act against. It's like not the worst thing in the world that he was a little wooden, but arrogant is like very Reed Richards.
Yeah. Well, because he's like Tony Stark.
Right. So like, yeah, I mean, of course Reed would go into that battle thinking like, it's fine. We'll like, we'll take care of her. She can't be as strong as you think she is, Strange.
Well, and these motherfuckers have beaten, you know, Thanos and everything else. Right. They're probably all just like, ah, fuck yeah, we could do whatever the fuck we want. Like,
yeah, I mean, I thought it was,
they didn't have to experience the loss of like the snap and everything either.
Right. No, I don't think Thanos snapped in this universe based on the flashback we saw. So,
they've like never lost. They've just,
won. They beat him on Titan. Like if you beat Thanos, why would you not? Especially like also they know their Wanda. Their Wanda is weaker than our Wanda, but like, they're not going to really believe
she doesn't
that
have the Darkhold and shit. Yeah. So she doesn't have all the fucking,
she's also not that like, she's not like the Nexus being.
Yeah,
so like, I think
like Wanda Ultron level strength. Like,
I think our Wanda is the canonically strongest multiversal Wanda, but like, they're not going to believe that when Strange is telling them that. So like, what it makes sense, and also makes sense for Reed's character. Like, the only one I was like, what's he up to is Professor X, but he was like kind of not. He was like doing his own thing. He was like not even hanging out with them for the most part. So,
And he was also the only one that was like, no, you should let Doctor Strange go.
Yeah. Fucking Mordo. Every universe, Mordo's a little dick.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I found that fight scene to be very satisfying.
It was awesome.
I loved when she fucking gave Black Bolt's head.
That was so crazy. That was so
unexpected.
I can't believe that they got that into a Marvel movie.
Yeah. No, that was one of the only parts where I was like, damn, like this is the type of shit that where I'm like, okay, this is more of like a horror movie. Like, this is not a take your kids to this movie.
No,
movie.
His brain literally popped open.
Yeah.
I mean, the same thing happened with caved in. The same thing happened with Reed, but it wasn't like,
well, it wasn't that's like as less obvious. Graphic because it's not normal human body function.
He was already split into like string pieces. Yeah.
Yeah, like he got like unwoven like a quilt, like
Black. I mean, also
like, caved in.
Captain Carter got cut in half.
Yeah, they didn't.
We don't really
show
see
that,
it, but
though,
like
you saw the blood on the shield.
Yeah. What else? Well, there was one other. Oh, I mean, this is not from the Illuminati fight, but like Wanda coming out of the mirror when she like that's like literally straight out of horror. Like her, like,
putting
her body back in place. That was crazy. Yeah,
that was like out of the ring.
Yeah. I mean that and like her. Following them down the hallway with her like foot broken, and she's like dragging her foot along the. I think that was
people,
a ring
people
too.
Thought
right?
That was, people thought that was zombie Wanda.
Yeah,
I saw it in the trailer.
Right. Yeah. And it was just it wasn't. She just was beat up from fighting the Illuminati. But No. I mean, yes, they did go to answer the question. They did go into the battle and prepare Narragan, but like that was the whole point.
Yeah, exactly. Because that was a version of. Not the Avengers, but a super team that has never lost and has never experienced losing before. So they were super arrogant because they're like, we could beat anybody.
Yeah.
All right. Last question.
You've got mail.
Should they have brought back Ioan Gruffudd?
I think it's just Ian. I think you pronounce it Ian.
Is it just Ian?
I've actually never said
his name out loud before.
He spelled it correctly, but I think you just pronounced it Ian.
Yeah. No, I looked up the spelling because I was like, damn, I forgot what his name was, to be completely honest. So Ian Gruffudd to play Reed Richards and have John Krasinski play him in our universe, maybe. But I don't think that having Krasinski play him in this universe precludes them from him being the Earth 616.
Yeah, I mean, most of the people, not all of them, but like Professor X won't look the same because they're not gonna have Patrick Stewart play him again, but like
they need to recast McAvoy.
It won't be him. Yeah, it won't be him.
It should be.
No, it's not going to be him. He doesn't want to do it anymore. He's like made that pretty clear. I think they're going to want to distance themselves from the X-Men movies.
They throw that MCU check at him, he'll play it again.
I really think Feige's not going to want to use any of the people from the X-Men movies because those movies are like very hit.
Unless you count Deadpool. He is sticking with Deadpool.
Yes, except for Deadpool. But those movies are not hit and miss. So yeah. I think he's okay to use those. But I think he's not going to use any of the... any of the characters. I really don't know. I know you think they're going to reuse Krasinski. I really don't know if they are. Like, I think there's an argument for the reason they put him here is because so many people wanted him to play Reed, and then it's like, here you go, you got to see John Krasinski as Reed. Now we're going to cast who we want. There's also an argument for, hey, let's see if, like, we're just reading too much Twitter, or people actually really do want this guy to be Reed, and, like, if that's what they're doing, then they're going to cast him as Reed because people went ballistic when he popped up.
Well, and I think the other thing to consider, too, is it's not like Krasinski did this as, like, a favor or something. Like, he's been asked and said on the record, like, yes, I'd love to join the MCU. If it, you know, with the obvious caveats of, like, if the script was good or whatever. Right. But, like,
I mean, he was,
like,
almost Captain America back in the day.
But he was so, like, I love Reed Richards. I love the Fantastic Four, and I would love to play that part. So
I think part of it depends, too, on how old, like, Krasinski's in his 40s at this point. I think it depends on how old they want. Like, if they want to do more of, like, younger, like, have them get their powers when they're younger, they're obviously not going to cast him.
They can still make him pretty young. I mean, you shave him and whatever and put a little makeup on him, he could still pass for, like, 30.
Yeah, what I don't think we're going to get, mid-20s. Though, is because people want Emily Blunt because they're married to play Sue. She's not doing that.
She doesn't really want to.
She does not want to do it, so it's not going to happen. Yeah.
Well, she also said, though, with the caveat of, like, if the script was good, then...
Yeah, but that seems like bullshit, because she was supposed to be Black Widow. I don't know if you know the story, but she was early cast as Black Widow and had to drop out to do Gulliver's Travels, which is very funny. And then they cast Scarlett Johansson instead, and... Since then, she's kind of been like, you know what, like, I'm pretty happy it worked out that way because I've decided I don't want to do superhero movies. Mm-hmm. So I think that's just like, she's not going to say never, ever, ever, because you can't. But, like, I don't think she's going to agree to do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll see.
Which is fine. Like, I don't really necessarily want, like, I don't know. I don't really necessarily need.
It would be fine if she did. It would be cool because they definitely, you know, you could see in A Quiet Place they have real on-screen chemistry together, being a real-life husband and wife. But also, I wouldn't be heartbroken if they, like, cast someone else.
I don't really need either. I don't need either of them. I know a lot of people are, like, going to be disappointed if neither one of them are cast. But, like, Marvel never fucks up casting. So if they go with other people, then they know what they... Yeah. I'm going to trust them.
But I like Krasinski, so I hope they go with him. So, like, I liked him in this quick little turn as Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah, I just wish, like I said, I think it was pretty obvious that he was acting against nobody, which there's really no way to get around. But he's not a bad actor. So,
I
like,
mean, this I, was I, the most ironclad secret maybe in Marvel history. I didn't
it
see
it. Le- I mean, it leaked. I saw pictures of it.
It leaked like after the premieres. Like,
I mean, it was, the rumors were out there, and then a picture leaked from the I think, like, the day before the premiere. Somebody must have, like, gotten it from somewhere of Reed and Black Bolt standing with Captain Carter and Maria.
Marvel. I saw that after the fact, but that's so close to it. Like, think about that compared to, like, people had the Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire a year and a half before
that was literally, people caught on to that literally a year before the movie came out. That's different. But, and, like, I'm just saying, like, I know why they did it. He's a good actor, so, like, I don't actually think it would be like that if he played the normal Reed. But, you know, I thought it was a little weird, which, again, is, under the circumstance, understandable.
Yeah. Also, I just got to say, and I saw this in an article, too, the guy that played Black Bolt on that god-awful Inhumans TV show played Black Bolt in this, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he must have been so fucking surprised to get that phone call.
Yeah, probably. But I think he, you know, like, Feige, I think, said somewhere that, or he must, maybe he implied, because I don't think they're giving interviews about those cameos yet. He must have implied somewhere, like, he wanted to do right by him because that TV show sucks so bad.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, maybe they'll bring him back as a somewhat recurring character.
I don't think they're ever going to, like, have the Inhumans around.
Try the Inhumans again. Yeah, well, because it seems like they even let that die with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with Daisy.
Yeah, and, like, now the mutants can be in the movies, so they don't need the Inhumans anymore.
Yeah, they don't need Inhumans now. Yeah. It's, like, their fallback. But anyway, all right, good God. This has been so fucking long. This is a two-part mailbag calling it right now.
All right, so let's go record the intros and outros.
Yeah, right. So thanks for listening to this two-part mail.bag. Thank you for all the questions, as always. We will be back in approximately 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't know, Rick. I don't know when I'm going to keep this up, doing this right at the end. I don't know. Oh, geez. I don't know when we're going to see you again or you're going to hear us, but we'll be back soon.
Morty, I need you to... I'm trying to tie this in with the rest of the episode. Oh God, I'm so fucking tired.
I don't. I honestly can't remember anything we said before 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, this I was gonna. Oh, Morty, you goddamn tosser, Morty.
You're Billy No Mates
over here, Morty. I just, I don't.
Well, Rick, you're a Billy No Mates, Rick. Oh, jeez.
Shut up, Morty. You're the goddamn Billy No Mates.
This is weird. British Rick is
you got no friends. It's just you and your computer, and you're just wanking off all the time. It tosses and tosses.
We're going to literally have nobody listening to this next time if we keep doing this. Let's
stop. I think British Rick is pretty good. He sounds like an old codger.
It was terrible.
It sounds like an old codger. He's great.
Yeah,
a little bit. Anyway, thanks for listening to X-Mail That Bag. Talk to y'all next time. Peace out.